an associate professor in the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University. This paper was part of work with Shakti, who's one of my graduate students. You'll hear later about some of the initiatives with respect to digital soil mapping in the United States, particularly the Mojave Project, a lot of emphasis on meeting the goals for completing mapping in the United States for new areas, but there is a big opportunity, I believe, for using digital soil mapping techniques in the update process, because I think in the future that's where most of the work is going to be done, obviously. And there is a big role for digital soil mapping in helping us eventually get a seamless coverage across the country and in updates directed towards MLRA areas. But in that process, I think DSM has some opportunities for helping us deal with things like discontinuities at county boundaries, incompatibilities between legends, and things like the disparate intensity, vintage and quality of the current soil maps, which keep many of us awake at night. So the goal of my work currently is using digital soil mapping techniques in an update process, and soil property mapping is very important to me, but I also think that we need to try and produce survey-style maps using digital soil mapping as well. So I'm looking towards mapping large areas, counties, and eventually MLRAs using these techniques. And the entities that we're mapping really are at the series level. I talk to mappers regularly about this, and in the particular area I'm working, the things that they bring up continuously is, can we use this information not just to produce maps, but help us do the actual on-the-ground mapping, identifying inconsistencies, directing field investigations, and I think Arjing showed an excellent example of that, improving the joins at county lines, rationalising soil map units between disparate counties, and reducing the disparity in map intensity. And to look at some of those issues, we've been working in two counties in southeastern Ohio, Monroe and Noble County. These counties have series surveys published in 74 and 90. They're part of MLRA 126 Central Allegheny Plateau, which is part of the unglaciated southeast of Ohio, going into West Virginia, mostly sedimentary rocks and oligosols, alpha sols, and a few inceptosols there. So this is Ohio, and you can see where Noble and Monroe are on the Ohio. Monroe abuts up to the Ohio River, and all part of MLRA 126. Just to give you an idea of what these surveys are like, Noble was the most recent of the two in terms of publication, but many people feel in Noble County that they've been badly done by, because if you have a look at the number of polygons in Noble, it's a much coarser scale mapping, and this causes people a lot of concern, and people in the county think they need, they wonder why they have the more recent survey, but they've got fewer mapping units. I'm not sure why people feel that way, but that's the way it is. You can see that there's a disparity in the number of map units, even though we have most of the soil forming factors the same in both counties. And here is a small portion of the join showing typical join problems. I don't need to go into this in too much more detail, but you can see some of the things that had to be done to get Sergo out. Where we have map units that dead end, where we have some new series that have been established or changed. All of these things in the future are things we have to deal with to go on with seamless coverage. And I think DSM has a big opportunity here in helping us work on some of these things. Typically, we could apply machine learning or data mining, and Arjing again mentioned how this could fit into an overall system of DSM. But we can use current maps, and that's what I've been doing. Using our current maps as the data source for predictive models, generally using the score pan approach already mentioned, and basically we use data mining or machine learning to induct some kind of model which we can use predictively. My approach then is to take a model, build it in one county, and see what it tells us about the adjacent county. So typically we would develop a set of environmental covariates, such as terrain information, climate, and other representatives within the soil forming factor system or SCORPAN. Sample a large training set from the prior map, train some kind of machine learning model, and then make a prediction for a target area. Where we've been working to enhance this is, you know, how can we best select the best environmental covariates? How can we direct the sampling from the prior map, reduce noise and disambiguate labels, which is what I'm going to talk about in a moment, use different classifiers, and eventually what kind of evaluation can we do to test us? There have been a lot of machine learning examples worked on Australia, China, Europe, and in the United States. But generally, these have addressed fairly broad areas and mostly predicted higher taxa. Or if they do predict series level or lower level taxa, then generally they only cover small areas. So we're trying to push to, you know, to do series level mapping over large areas. Ajing and others have worked on this idea that improved machine learning algorithms really need to deal with the issue of how the samples from the prior maps might be noisy. So one thing you can do is to reject the noisy samples. So you look for whichever of these samples outliers and throw them away. We can do things like use advanced classifiers. One issue I have with this is that, you know, it might be better to randomly sample across our prior map and not reject samples if some way we can determine what the right answer is for each of those points rather than throwing them away. And one thing I've been trying to use is the actual map unit composition to help improve the quality of our samples. Let me point out how this works. If we, for example, we've got two map units here, typically they're going to have some map unit composition with some data that's true right across the map, and we can use these as prior probabilities for the occurrence of these components. So if we have a particular point here, we don't know whether it's Lowell or Gilpin. The information in the environmental correlates will tell us something about that. In fact, it might be something else. So if we're going to use that sample point as part of our training set, we really want to know what the right answer is. I look through and work with machine learners. What kind of techniques are used in language and genetics for disambiguating labels? There are various kinds of these. I'm not going to go into too much detail. But I found one in the work of Jin and Garamani. Dr. Jin's at Michigan State. And he talks about a system where each training instance is given a set of or a distribution of candidate class labels, and only one of the candidate labels is the correct one. And I think that's typical of what we have in our component-based map unit system. Those authors recommend an expectation maximization algorithm, a probabilistic method for training a model. This turns out for the kind of work that we're doing to be too computationally intensive. So we've been working on some heuristic methods. So what we try and do is iteratively improve the training labels, and I use a KNN, K-nearest neighbor algorithm to do that. Let me just talk about the general project. We use SCORPAN models, various software. Most people many people would be familiar with this. We base it all on a 10 meter discretization based on the 10 meter DEM, which we developed for the areas. And we've tried 27 environmental covariates. You can see them all there. Not too much more detail needed on that. Climate, geology and vegetation, all of these things have proved helpful. Let me just show you the ones that eventually we used. Elevation, standard deviation of elevation, elevation above a pit cell, profile curvature, landform class, evapotranspiration, bedrock geology, and the soil data. These are the ones that, after rigorous testing, we find are most predictive. We sample about 80 to about 90,000 sample sites off the original map, and we compared the 27 total and 7 environmental correlates. We did some outlier removal to remove noise, and then tried various classifiers and evaluate this in terms of the maps and data. So you know, here's a typical area from the map, and we can see that we've got fairly dense sampling from the original map. We constrained it, 5 samples per delineation. And then we worked using this KNN to disambiguate the label. So this is what we call a naive one, where we use each of these training samples and we just give the dominant, we label them with the dominant series. So for example, we've got Zanesville, all of these 5 points in here we're going to say are Zanesville, even though we know some of them probably aren't. Okay, and then using KNN, we can then find the most likely right answer. Okay, so we try that. We call that the learner. And then we have some heuristics, for example, where the KNN label is the dominant component, we use the site and we drop any others that don't meet that criterion. Heuristic 2 is where we only choose those where the answer that KNN gives us are components that are supposed to be in the map unit. And finally, we allow all the points, those where they're either the map unit or we leave the dominant being the one that we use. And then we make comparisons. So here are some of the maps. We use a number of different models. In this case, we're using just a classification tree. So we can see the kind of map that we get. And this is the overlaid original line work across the county boundary. Not too good. But then we start to do this in disambiguation. So now we can see we've got a lot more coherence in the maps. The heuristic 2 gives us more detail for minor soil series. And finally, using a random forest classifier, this is where we get the best result. Let me just quickly show you the kinds of results we're getting. Where we look at mapping in the adjacent county, where we have even some different soil series present, we can get up around 53%, which we think is fairly close to the actual true purity of these map units. We also looked at fragmentation as a way of determining whether our mapping is useful. And with this random forest using the second heuristic there, we get the kind of contiguity values and adjacencies we would expect for good series mapping. My conclusions, disambiguating these training set labels certainly improves the quality of mapping. We can map soil series components within the map units using this technique. And maps can be used to locate errors and to direct field investigation and improve edge mapping. In the future, we've got some other possibilities for improving this, but I'll leave that in order to give time for other people. Thank you.
Thank you.
One question.
Yes, sure. Well, yes, certainly. We started with one county and went to another one because there's a need in those two counties to do something about the disparity. So that's why I started there. But there's no reason. We're actually working now to get the covariate data sets for the entire MLRA 126, and I think we can do it, do the whole MRA. I don't see why not. It's just computer time after all.